The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. I'm the announcer and Eric is the host, but they name the show after the host, so you have no idea who I am, do you?
Well, do you?
Mommy? Papa? Do you know who I am?
Mommy?
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show, and on this show, we talk about everything. It's called The Show About Everything, and everything includes really freaky stuff, really weird stuff like casting out demons and all that stuff. Except the problem is it's not that weird. It's normal. It's just that some people think it's weird. But Jesus did it. And I happen to know that he was neither crazy nor a liar, and that the documents that, you know, record this stuff are very, very trustworthy. Now, you don't have to believe that, but I'm just telling you. So it amazes me sometimes that in the church, where people say we're Christians and we believe in Jesus and all this stuff, they shy away from some of the freaky stuff Jesus did. Now, if you think he didn't really do it, or you have some complex theological explanation of why we shouldn't do these things ourselves, we shouldn't expect to pray for people and experience healing or whatever, I disagree with you, but I guess some people, they don't understand that stuff. But I have experienced all kinds of miraculous stuff, and I have friends who've experienced miraculous stuff. I wrote a book on it called Miracles, and I have a friend. His name is Ken Fish, and he travels the world praying for people and seeing healings and all kinds of extraordinary stuff. And anytime he's in New York, I want to talk to him. Ken Fish, welcome to the program.
It's good to be back, Eric.
I love seeing you. I love the fact that you get to come into the studio. And you were telling me that people – you travel around the world and now people come up to you and say like, hey, I heard you on the Eric Metaxas Show. That makes me very happy.
That happens all the time. In fact, after my first time here, we received a letter from – I'll just say a closed country in the Middle East. And we received another one from Vladivostok. So you've got a lot more reach than you realize.
I'm not even aware that Vladivostok is a country.
It's not. It's a city in a country.
Yeah. In a country.
Yeah.
What country?
Russia.
Oh, that would have been my guess. I thought it would have been Moldova or Moldova or someplace like that. But that's still, you know, I forget that this program, you know, this is one of these weird programs. On the one hand, it's a radio program. Tons of people listen to this every day on the radio. But many, many thousands of people, we can see the numbers, listen as a podcast, and then I can go down and see what countries. And I am astounded. There are people all over the world who listen to this, which just amazes me. Thank you, Jesus. It's just astounding. So, but I love having you in here because I know there's so many people who either they don't believe the kind of stuff that you and I believe, or they just don't know where to find it with somebody that is reputable, that can talk about it in a way that's somewhat articulate, you know. And so when I met you and saw what you did, I said, I want my audience to discover you and what you do. Now, the bad news is you don't have any books, right?
Not yet, but I'm taking January off to do some writing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you need a foreword or a blurb, anything I can do to help you with your books, because people need to read what you have to say. I know that you do. Now, what's the website again? I always want to get this stuff out.
www.kingdomfireministries.org.
Kingdomfireministries.org. Okay. All right. So you've been traveling, and I always want to ask you, what have you seen? What have you experienced? Where have you been? What's going on?
You know, the last 2 months have been pretty much a blur. I've been home very little, sort of stopped in a bit, but nothing long. And I've been in Israel. I've been in England and Scotland, which technically are two separate countries, even though they're both part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then I was home for just a bit. And then I was off in Australia for a couple of weeks, came home for Thanksgiving. And now I'm on the back end of a tour that took me to Boston and New York. And from here, I'm going to spend some time in Florida and Texas before heading home for the holidays.
Wow. Okay. So you were in all these different countries. I just want to kind of – what are some of the things that you saw that we should tell my audience about?
Well, you know, there's so many things we could talk about, but I think what people are most interested in most of the time are things that are somehow documentable or measurable, as opposed to I had this mystical experience. So I think I'd rather talk about, you know, something like that than the mystical stuff, although we could do that too if you want
to. I like to talk about everything, frankly, but go ahead.
Well, you know, when we were in Israel, we visited what is commonly known as the Garden Tomb. No one is absolutely certain if it's the tomb where Jesus was buried, although the layout of that tomb is consistent with reports from the New Testament. So many scholars believe it is the place. But anyway, there are obviously a lot of people visit there. It's kind of a pilgrimage site.
Well, is this the place where they just they uncovered it? And I was just reading about this recently.
Yeah, you read about it like in the last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the place. There are two places that are generally considered to be the tomb. The one I mentioned, and then the other one is attached to a church that has been around for, I don't know, 1700 or 1800 years. And the one that you're talking about is inside of that church.
Okay.
I visited both places, but
Isn't it amazing? We're talking about 2,000 years ago. There's all this tradition. We can't be sure. What is your take on it? Do you think that it was, you know, when you're there, I know you see in the spirit. Do you see things?
I think it's entirely believable, yeah. I suspect it's probably right because, you know, among other things, it says in the Gospels that, you know, when the women, specifically the women, you know, they went into the tomb, there seated on the right was an angel. Well, when you go into this tomb,
right,
the actual places where the bodies would be laid is on your right as you go in. Now, that could be many tombs, but the fact is, from an archaeological standpoint, that's not the way tombs were most commonly built in that era. Mm. It wasn't zero. It just wasn't the most common. So it's interesting that this tomb, which is close by where Golgotha is believed to have, you know, been, it's a logical place. They would have taken him down. They wouldn't have had to carry the body very far. They would have prepared it by wrapping it in cloths and spices and then placing it in the tomb. So when you look at it, even there's a well or a track. It's cut into the rock, but the scriptures also record that there was a rock rolled over the tomb, and then it was actually sealed with the imperial seal.
Right.
Well, all of that is still there, and that's all very consistent with what the scriptures report. So there's nothing there that's out of compliance. Let's say it that way.
Right. Well, I guess I want to talk to you about things that you experience in terms of healing and deliverance and all that stuff, because that's really what you're known for. So where should we start? You want to talk about Israel? You want to talk about Scotland?
When we were in the garden, the Garden Tomb,
yeah.
They have a few places where, you know, groups can sit and talk, pray, whatever they're going to do. So we had one of those meetings, and we had, I don't know, several dozen people gathered around. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with even this terminology, this might seem odd to them, but the Holy Spirit fell. And I'll describe what I mean by that. You know, in the New Testament, we have this language of the Spirit of God fell, for example, when the apostles came from Jerusalem up to Samaria to lay hands on them in Acts chapter 8, and then again in Cornelius's house in Acts chapter 10. It says the Spirit of God fell. So while the talk was going on, while we were gathered, we took communion as part of all of that, all of a sudden there was just a presence of God. And it wasn't – initially you would have said, well, that could be subjective. But the thing is, God began to move on people, and you could see that they were physically being touched by the Spirit.
This is the kind of thing – I mean, I want to describe this carefully. We've just got a few seconds here in this segment, but just to be clear, in other words, it's kind of like watching the wind go through the trees.
Yes.
You know, if you look at a bunch of trees and you see the wind go from left to right, and you see the trees blowing in a certain direction, you know, you deduce some things from that. The wind is and always be utterly invisible.
Right.
One cannot see wind. It is by definition invisible, but you can see the effect.
That's right.
And I think when we're talking about spiritual things, we have to apply the same kind of rigor and intellect to say, we don't know anything, but let me just tell you what I saw and what I think was happening. And you're seeing stuff happen as the Holy Spirit blows through and you make some deductions. We're going to go to a break. We're going to be right back, folks. We're talking to Ken Fish. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. Texas show, sitting here with Ken Fish in the studio. Ken, again, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be back.
We were just talking about this wind metaphor, or I was talking about the wind metaphor. But, you know, when people talk about the Holy Spirit, again, I think that the problem is people often say, well, that's subjective. Faith is subjective. And I say, no, you can talk about it the way you talk about anything. Because if it's not true, I don't want to believe it. Or if there's evidence that points me away from something, I want to say, well, what can I know?
Right.
And so when you see things, you should bring the mind of a scientist. You say, what am I seeing? What is possibly happening here? Let's look at the patterns. The more I read about these kinds of experiences, you see patterns.
That's right.
And you can deduce things from the patterns. And so you're saying that you're sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane.
No, not Gethsemane, the garden tomb.
Okay, I'm sorry, the garden where the tomb is,
right?
And you're having a prayer time or whatever, and you're saying something palpable happens.
That's
you're
right.
Sensitive to these things, people sense the Spirit of God is here in a particular way. Because
that's
we
right.
always say God is everywhere, God is in me, Jesus lives inside me. But you're talking about something that you read about in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit falls. There's this terminology that somehow there's a particular presence of God and you see stuff happen. So
that's
you're
right.
saying you're sitting there and suddenly all of these different people start to experience things.
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So what happened?
Well, by various turns, some people who were standing, I guess the term we would use is they swooned or they kind of lost their balance and, they became dizzy. But I don't mean they were like, oh, I feel faint. I need to sit down. It was more like they just dropped.
Okay. So now you hear about this when people are, quote unquote, slain in the spirit. If
That's
you watch
right.
Whatever it is, you watch the TV, whether it's Benny Hinn or whatever, you see this thing where people are touched, whether it's by the hand of somebody praying for them or just they just fall down.
That's correct.
Now, that has never happened to me, but you're saying that this happened in spades that day.
It happened to a number of people, several other people. They immediately said, ah, and you could tell they were startled. And so, well, what are you feeling? I feel heat or I feel electricity moving through my body. And one person who had several very severe back injuries, he was healed completely on the spot. And to prove that he'd been healed, he just began moving from side to side and doing jumping jacks.
Now, you were on a tour in Israel, or were these all Israelis?
No, these were all people who were part of the group that we were taking through Israel. I was there with Brian Simmons.
Okay, I don't know who that is, but so you were, and this was in the month of
October.
Okay,
and then Brian himself actually was touched by the Lord. He had something wrong with his hand, and the mobility problem in his hand was fixed. So
yeah,
we had a number of people who said that was profound. Some of them began crying. I almost hesitate to mention that one because always the accusation people bring is, well, you know, that's just emotionalism.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The fact is, when people are profoundly touched by God and the pain leaves their body, or something they've struggled with for years is no longer assailing them, that is an emotional experience.
Okay.
I mean, they're grateful, and it's tears of joy.
Now, were you praying for healing, or what was it that precipitated this?
Well, this all just sort of happened spontaneously in the midst of our communion service.
Okay.
And then after that, you know, people began to pray for one another, and I went around and prayed for several people who were there.
Now, I'm sure there are people listening saying, okay, maybe I believe this, but why do some people get healed and some people don't? I have a knee problem. I've got other health issues. I've been prayed for 1,000 times. You've prayed for me diligently, and I've not been healed. So people have that question. What can we say to that?
Well, I think the best answer is healing in many ways is mysterious. We don't always understand the mechanics or the dynamics that are behind it. And consequently, when people want pat answers, the worst thing we can do is give pat answers.
Right.
However, I would also say that many times when we pray for people, the way we pray and the things we pray about, oftentimes we're very surfacey in our prayers. You know, be healed in Jesus' name. I've found that to get high levels of healing, you know, high percentage rates of healing, a lot of times we have to understand what's the origins of this. Where did what was going on when this happened, and
when the injury happened?
Well, if it's an injury, yeah, or if it's more of what we would call a syndrome or a complex, what are the other issues in that person's life that interact with this thing that cause it to be what it is? So I think we need to take a more sophisticated approach, and as we do that, we often see many, many more people get healed because we pray, I like to say pray into or pray about the very things that are otherwise easily glossed over.
I guess I want to ask you, you said you were in Israel. I know you were in Scotland. Suzanne, of course, my wife. And her sister and some friends were able to go to Scotland. I'm so sorry I couldn't go. I was traveling, you know, talking about my Martin Luther book. But can you tell us anything that happened in Scotland, or do you want to stick to Israel?
No. Well, so I left Israel, and I flew first to London, and I did actually some more radio and some TV shows with Justin Brierley.
Oh, yeah. We've had him on this show. He's terrific.
Yeah. And so anyway, I was with him in London. And then I went up to Scotland, and we held some meetings in Pitlochry, which is pretty much the center of the country. I mean, somebody told me that the dead center of the country is maybe like 20 meters out of town or something, but it's it's pretty much right there.
Right.
So anyway, we went to Pitlochry, and we were in the local Baptist church there. And we had people that came from all over. In fact, there were two people who came up from the Lakes District of England who knew I was going to be in Scotland because they'd heard me on your radio show. And they came up after visiting the website, and they saw that we had meetings in Scotland. And they ended up meeting Suzanne there, and they sat with her in some of the meetings.
And, of course, Suzanne didn't tell me anything about this. I said, Suzanne, can you tell me anything encouraging? Nah. No, that's actually hilarious. Last night we were teasing her about that. We had dinner together. But that really makes me happy, as I said, because I know you're for real, and I want people to know about you and get to go to your meetings and stuff. Now, you're going to be back here in New York February 7th?
Yeah, that's right. We've got it. I'm going to be in New York for 3 weeks straight, and I'm doing starting out with a meeting that will include Randy Clark, Lance Wallnau, Bob Hazlett, and a local pastor on Long Island named Phil Urena. And those will be out in on Long Island in Uniondale.
Okay.
And then I'm going to move into town and do meetings up on the north end of Manhattan. And all of this will be posted on our website. And these are all open meetings. Anyone can come. And then I'm going to do some other meetings in North Jersey.
Wow, this is great. So people now can know in advance. KingdomFireMinistries.org. .org. Okay. Okay. Yeah, because it happens to me when I'm traveling. People say, I wish I would have known you were going to be in Phoenix. And it's like, well, okay. So we're telling you now, February,
right.
KingdomFireMinistries.org. You can check it out. I want to talk about, let's go to Scotland. What did you see in Scotland that's of note?
Well, Scotland was an interesting time because I was teaching on the subject of what happens when the Spirit comes, which is kind of where we started this conversation today. And so as I was teaching, the one day, what I call the spirit of prophecy began moving in the room. Now, this is a move of the spirit that is more particularly bent or tilted towards prophecy over individuals. And I started by walking over to four women who had come from, I can't remember, I think it was Dundee they had come from. And I had specific words over each one of them about their lives and things that were going on. And as I was giving them these prophetic words, each of them, by turns, what we say, fell out. Now, the reason we use the term fall out is because they literally fell out of their chairs and were vibrating on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit, all four of them, one by one by one by one. And that got a lot of people's attention because it was fairly obvious that the things I was saying were astounding to them. And in other words, these weren't shills. I didn't summon these people to the meeting or anything. They just came. But they fell out. They were astounded by what was being spoken over them. And then the power of the Spirit was moving over them in such a way that I think the last one got off the floor maybe an hour later. I mean, it was quite a while.
It's kind of funny because I've always said I long for these kinds of experiences. I've never had them. I've been prayed for a zillion times. I've never had anything like that happen to me when somebody has prayed for me, although, of course, I believe that it could, and I hope that it will. But it's so interesting that some people experience this stuff. It's just I've heard it. I've seen it. We're going to be right back talking to Ken Fish, KingdomFireMinistries.org. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Go to MetaxasTalk.com and tell your friends about the show. Thank you. She's got a figure that's shown up in attention. She's poetry in motion, a beautiful sight to see. I get so excited. You and her anatomy.
Darker shame, darling, darker shame. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony was the place we'd meet. Second seat, gold Dutch treat. You were sweet, darker shame, darling, darker shame.
Hey folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. That, if you can believe it, is Wayne Newton, 17 years old. Sounds like a girl, was not a girl, is not a girl, is Wayne Newton. Hey, I'm talking to Ken Fish. Ken Fish, have you ever seen Wayne Newton perform?
No.
Me either. Okay, let's move on. You were in Scotland recently, and you're talking about you prophesied over. Now, I know that a lot of people listening to this, they're saying, I don't know what you're talking about, whatever. It's hard. Before we go on, if somebody's interested in this, what is your recommendation? I mean, I guess you don't have books, but you've got CDs and things.
Where I have a lot of recordings available on my website.
All right, so they can just go to your website. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but so let's continue. So you saw this stuff happen. People fall on the ground. They're vibrating, whatever. I know there are plenty of people that just plumb don't believe this stuff. They think it's fraudulent. I find it strange that people can believe that when, you know, what I would consider credible people like you or me are just saying, look, it just happened. Here's what we know. We're not making any outlandish claims, but why would you doubt it? It's such an odd thing. But anyway, what did they report, these women? Did they say that they had, what do you experience when you're lying on the ground sort of vibrating and God
well,
is?
Well, different people experience different things. When you talk to them afterward, they may say, they just felt at the sort of mildest end of the spectrum, they felt a sense of peace, contentment. Other times people will report they felt like waves of power or maybe electricity moving through their body, sometimes heat. Other times people report that they've had visions of various sorts, meaning they can be ranged from somewhat less vivid to incredibly vivid. And on occasion, this didn't happen to these women, but on occasion you'll hear people say, it felt like I left my body. And then I later return to it, which, of course, calls to mind the language of the Apostle Paul that he says, he'd been caught away, and whether it was in the body or out of the body, no one knows. But, you know, he was in the third heaven and he heard things that are not permitted to be repeated. So people occasionally fall into those kinds of states, and we usually call those trances.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a range or a continuum, and you know, these women all were having various sorts of that, but again, none of them had anything that they said they'd left.
And
their body.
To be clear, again, everything is in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You are not bumping up against New Age stuff. You're very careful to be biblical and have everything is in the name of Jesus.
Well, as you know from some of our other conversations offline, I mean, I'm very clear about staying to what the scriptures teach.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we'd better. Okay, so...
So some other things that happened in Scotland, though. There was this one elder sitting in the church, and this was kind of a funny one. You know, God has a way with these things. We see, for example, with the prophet Hosea, you know, his children were named based on words from God, and each of them was a prophetic sign to the people of Israel. Most people don't read the book of Hosea, but it's there in the Bible.
Yeah.
So that would be an example. Well, this particular elder in the church, and again, this is a Baptist church, I looked at him and I said, you know, I see you sort of like a fence post. And I said, it's like an anchor point for the entire fence line. And I feel like God's drawing new boundaries for the favor for this church. And you are part of that. And I feel like God's somehow shifting your role in life and what you are doing. And he goes, well, that's funny because I'm right in the middle of a job transition. And he said, and funnier still, I've been putting up fences lately and driving fence posts.
See, that is hilarious. I just feel like some of this stuff is hilarious.
Yeah, it
is. That
is
really funny.
I mean, it shows you God's sense of humor.
You walk over and you start saying to this guy this stuff, and he goes, it just so happens I've been driving fence. But I literally don't know anybody who's ever driven a single fence post, I don't think.
Well, you live in New York. What do you expect?
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just, gosh.
So anyway, we had a bunch of those kinds of events. But, you know, there were a couple of other things that happened that I think were really noteworthy. There was one woman who came, and she had been having extreme depression as well as a lot of pain in her body, which, you know, most people would describe it as some sort of neuralgia or fibromyalgia or something like that. And she was having breathing problems and migraines. So she was pretty wrecked and pretty discouraged. She'd been struggling with this for quite a long time, number of years. She'd been medicated. Of course, we're in Scotland, and Scottish Rite Freemasonry arises from Scotland. That's why it's called Scottish Rite Freemasonry. And I said to her, you know, do you have any Freemasonry in your background? And she said, no, I don't. And I said, well, everything about you suggests that you have Freemasonry in your background.
Okay, now I want to say this. This is another one of the things I love about you is that you have such experience with this that you have the ability to see patterns.
That's right.
In other words, you realize that I've prayed for 1,000 people over 30 years, and the people who have this kind of symptoms, it seems to always be this or this or this. So you have actually seen patterns with regard to Freemasonry.
Right.
Now, I know we've talked about this on the program before, but we just got a few seconds here. What is Freemasonry? For people who are listening, they don't understand why would that be bad or whatever.
Well, Freemasonry is kind of a parallel underground religion. They call themselves a secret society, and it really exists in contradistinction to Christianity, although many people who are churchgoers end up in it not really realizing what they're getting involved with.
They think it's benign, and it ain't.
That's right.
And it ain't. There's a lot of people around the country who have that in their backgrounds, and they you know, they need to know, not good, not good. Okay, we're talking to Ken Fish. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, metaxastalk.com. If you want to visit Ken's website, kingdomfireministries.org. We'll be right back.
Then I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. There was a band of angels a-coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low,
swing low,
sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Coming for to carry me home.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, and I'm talking to Ken Fish. Ken, what were we just talking about?
Oh, we were talking about the woman who was healed of fibromyalgia.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So anyway, she'd had this for years, and was very discouraged. And I said, well, you know, this just looks and feels and smells to me like Freemasonry. Let's just pray as though it is. And so I had a guy with me who's actually a judge from Ireland. He was part of our team. And he had kind of seen some things like this and heard about it, but he'd never seen anything quite like this. So we prayed against the Freemasonry.
Okay, I want to say, just again to clarify for people listening, you're saying that Freemasonry is a false religious system. It's not some benign thing.
That's correct.
So when people are Masons or into Masonry, they're playing with something that touches upon the diabolical, the dark side. They might not know it.
That's right.
But that's what's happening.
That's right.
And what happens then is a door is opened to the dark side, and you can get harmed. This is why people need to take this stuff seriously. You can get harmed.
That's
you can get a spirit comes in. You can get a disease or whatever. This doesn't mean that all diseases come from that. But you have seen and you know that a large part of what people suffer is because at some point a door was opened wittingly or unwittingly. Something came in. So when you pray for this woman, you're praying against Freemasonry. You're praying against a spirit.
Yes.
You're praying against a demonic spirit.
Yes.
And that you're thinking it seems possible that her health problems are caused by this spirit.
That's right.
Okay. I just want to clarify that. Go ahead.
So anyway, we prayed for her, and in a matter of probably 2 minutes, all of her symptoms left. Her breathing just opened up, and she started crying immediately because she said she only had 40% of her lung capacity. And she was taking deep, full breaths like that.
Yeah.
And all the pain left her body. Her migraine left. She could, you know, the myalgia was gone. She was astounded. Now, she's a member of that church, and I've since received a couple of reports from the pastor saying, you know, all is well. So that was a pretty astounding one. And our judge, who was sitting right there watching it all, he said, I have never seen anything like this in my entire life. So that's another story from Scotland. And then we had a family that was participating in these meetings. It was an extended family, and people had come from other countries as well. Some of them lived in other, you know, parts of the UK. Some of them lived in the United States. There were a couple that had come up from Europe. So they'd all gathered together. And within this family, the scriptural term that you don't hear people use very much is oikos. It means household. And household doesn't just mean those people who are my, you know, nuclear family who live with me, but it means my wider circle of influence, my friends and family. Within this oikos, we had a number of people who were profoundly touched by the Holy Spirit. We had some salvations. We had some rededications of lives to Christ. A number of them were healed or inner healed or delivered. Some of them had had, you know, very difficult situations in their childhood, some molestation cases. And all of these people who were touched by God over this series of days when we were there, they were all reporting in that they'd never experienced anything like this. They didn't know that Christianity could be this way. And I think the best single summary statement of all the people that were there was one woman who said, next to the birth of my children, this has been the most significant weekend of my entire life.
Sheesh. That's pretty good.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I was kind of, you know, taken aback myself, but that was pretty overwhelming.
Well, it's so wonderful. Again, I wish there were more and more and more of this. One thing, you and I had dinner last night, and we were talking about a number of things, but one thing I asked you is that, you know, molestation is so much in the news today.
Right.
That suddenly all this stuff is coming out, that there are tons of people walking around with the pain and the shame of being sexually abused in one way or the other, whether it's a cheap grope or whether it's some extended horrible thing going over months or years or whatever. There's so much of that out there. There's so many people listening right now, I'm sure, who have experienced this.
Yeah.
We have a house guest. My wife said, oh, yeah, she was raped in college. And I thought, this is everywhere. This is horrific, horrific stuff. And I know there are many people listening that have experienced this or they know somebody's experienced this. You were saying last night that a lot of this is plain and simple demonic spirits. And this doesn't take away the culpability from somebody who's doing this.
No, it definitely does not.
But you're saying certainly not. We want to be real clear about that. But you're saying that sometimes somebody's molested, and when you're molested, a spirit can attach to you. And then you walk around with that.
That's right.
And that can cause you to molest somebody, or at least it can predispose you.
Predispose is probably a good way to say it.
Of course. Yeah. No, because we're not fatalists. We don't believe. Right. We're not robots. We're not controlled by the devil. But the point is something comes in and you don't know what it is.
And I think the other issue is that for people who have been subjected to this, you know, oftentimes they carry the effects for years. You know, the shame, the feeling dirty. It can affect their own marital relationships when
usually
they grow up.
Does. Yeah. I know many couples where their family relationship, I should say, between the couple has been really affected.
That's right.
By this issue from the woman's past.
That's right. Or sometimes the man's past if he's been the victim.
Or the man's past.
So anyway, these are the kinds of things that, you know, Jesus came to set captives free. And, you know, the good news is that people do not have to live with this. They do not have to endure this. And so, you know, often in our journeys, we run into people who have been victims of this in whatever form it has come. And I've lost count of the many thousands of people that we've prayed for who have been freed. And, you know, they later report back. This isn't just anecdotal. I mean, they report back, all is now well. You know, normal sexual function has returned to my marriage or, you know, whatever. But it's astounding to see how God even cares about the minutiae of people's lives in that way.
Now, we talked last night at dinner about the issue of homosexuality, and I asked how much of that is a spirit? How much of that, you know, this is really politically incorrect, but I know that there are people that they were molested when they were kids. And then they grow up and they think, well, I'm gay, and they you know, and I think, to you know, in some cases, I would think that it would be a spiritual issue. It's not just some genetic predisposition. When we come back, I want to talk about this because this is super hot button stuff. But I really think it's important. There are people out there whose lives have been affected, and they want to hear something. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. A few more minutes in this hour with my friend Ken Fish. Ken, I was just asking this incredibly provocative, difficult question about what is the link? In many cases, it seems to me that you say there's a link, a spiritual link when somebody is molested. There's something going on. There's some demonic activity, and it can attach to the person being molested. I think it's important to know about this as a possibility. It doesn't mean that it happens to everybody, but you made it clear that this is real, that this is a significant thing.
Yeah, I think we want to be really careful in this discussion, though, because even with a disclaimer that I'm about to make up front, there are people who are not going to hear what we're saying. And what we are not saying is that people who are homosexual are all demon-possessed. We are not saying that. And just by posing the question as you have, I think there's a significant risk that that's what people will come away
well,
with.
Well, look, I'm aware of that. But at the same time, I know that there are people who are suffering.
Yes.
They want help. And
yes,
that they ought to know that this is at least a good possibility of what is happening.
So let me answer that with a story. I was down in Northern Virginia about 2 years ago, and we had a ministry time going on, and the Spirit of God was moving. And I noticed a woman sitting kind of on the edge of the one row, and she had her head down and it was clear that she was in some sort of distress just from her body language, but no one was around her. So I walked over to her and I said, "Is everything okay?" Well, she disclosed that when she was a much younger person, her family had fallen on hard times and they had to move in with their extended family. And in that context, a cousin had molested her, and the cousin was female. And so her entire life, she had wondered, well, am I a lesbian because my cousin did this to me? And she had conflicted feelings arising out of that. And so the Lord set her free of all of that. And I've, again, since been in touch with the pastor. And, you know, she's now fine and she's on her way to the altar to get married to a man. You have to say that nowadays. So that would be an example of somebody who came away with something as a result of having been molested through no fault of her own, and Jesus set her free.
But so you're saying that as a result of that, she did have gay feelings?
In other words, she felt conflicted. She was attracted to men, but at times she felt drawn to women, and she didn't understand, why would I have had this experience with my cousin if I were not a lesbian? And so that kind of ambivalence and confusion is very common in the aftermath of such incidents. And, you know, the way we're talking about this in our society right now encourages people to believe, well, that's just who you are. Go after it.
Yeah.
But
well,
in fact, that wasn't what she wanted.
That's part of why I wanted to bring this up, is because I think, you know, if we say we believe in choice, I think there are a lot of places where we say that, but we don't mean that. In other words, if you have the flickering of same-sex attraction, you do not need to say, therefore, I am gay and I must pursue that.
Right.
Because you might as well say, well, if I have a flicker of opposite sex attraction, that proves that I'm straight. I mean, people, it only seems to work one way.
That's right.
But there are spiritual components. We didn't have time in this hour to go into it. Maybe in the second hour we can talk about it. But I'm not afraid to talk about this because it is what it is, folks. I mean, you at least ought to know what it might be and, you know, be open to these different things without getting all condemnatory. Well, Ken Fish, as usual, terrific to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, that's the program. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, MetaxasTalk.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.